Real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can find options that fit your budget and potentially lower your bills. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Summer's here, and Nordstrom has everything you need for your best dress season ever. From beach days and weddings to weekend getaways and your everyday wardrobe, discover stylish options under $100 from tons of your favorite brands like Mango, Skims, Princess Polly, and Madewell. It's easy, too, with free shipping and free returns, in-store order pickup, and more. Shop today in-stores, online at Nordstrom.com, or download the Nordstrom app.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly. And before we get started, I just have to say, if you are a parent like I am, we are currently on day 29 of Christmas break. And if you're also like me, you might be wondering, when does it end? Well, for us, it was supposed to end today. And as the kids were on their way to school, we got a text message saying that they were actually going to close the school because our school has no heat. And so all the kids who were already on buses had to get turned around and brought back home. My kids came back home, obviously. And I'm losing my godforsaken mind. So if you don't know this, we live in like Northwest Missouri, just about an hour north of Kansas City. So we did get hit with that blizzard a couple weeks ago. I don't even know. All the days have just run together at this point, but we did get a pretty gnarly blizzard. We got about like 16 inches of snow or something crazy. I can barely make it out of my driveway. Even still, the snow is just not going anywhere. It's not melting. We haven't had temperatures high enough to melt any of the snow. So I get it. But why don't our schools have appropriate heat? I still don't understand that. So many of our schools in our district are ancient, and that's probably a political discussion for another day. But anyway, all of this is just to say, if you are a parent who is losing your mind, you're not alone.
So today's story is going to take us to the serene and picturesque North Shore of Oahu, Hawaii, known for its surfing and a paradise for locals and tourists alike. I haven't been to Hawaii in a very long time, but God, I wish I was there right now. However, the story that we're talking about today obviously is not a positive one. I mean, this is a true crime podcast, but we are talking about the story of Thelma Boinville. And we're going to go back to December of 2017, when this beloved kindergarten teacher and mother, her life was brutally cut short, leaving a community stunned and a family devastated. So let's just dive right in. Born and raised in Brazil, Thelma Boinville radiated a warmth and an energy that just drew people to her. Her friends and family in Brazil remember her as someone who loved life and sought beauty and purpose in absolutely everything she did. It was this adventurous and determined spirit that led her to move to Hawaii in the 90s. Leaving behind the familiarity of her homeland, Thelma sought a fresh start in what many consider to be paradise, a place that really mirrored her bright and sunny personality. Hawaii became more than just her home, it became her sanctuary. The tropical islands offered her not only breathtaking landscapes, but also the perfect environment to pursue her passions. She fell in love with the culture, the people, and the community that she would soon call her own. She married Kevin Emery, a fellow adventurer and surfer, and the two began a life together. Their daughter, Makana, became the center of their world, a symbol of the life that they had built together in Hawaii. The family settled on Oahu's North Shore, a world-renowned surfing destination and a place that embodied the laid-back Hawaiian lifestyle. In fact, Thelma's brother-in-law was a world-renowned surfer and very famous for his surfing, so the North Shore was more than just a place to live. It was this perfect match for her and her family's free-spirited nature and love of surfing. She really embraced the lifestyle wholeheartedly. She spent her days surfing, practicing yoga, running, and just immersing herself in the island's natural beauty. Thelma's friends and neighbors described her as a radiant soul who embodied the aloha spirit, always smiling, always ready to lend a helping hand. As a kindergarten teacher at Sunset Beach Elementary School, Thelma had a profound impact on her students and their families. She was especially known for her patience, creativity, and her genuine care for her students. She believed in nurturing not just her students' minds, but also their spirits, encouraging them to be kind and curious and confident. Colleagues admired her ability to connect with children, especially those who needed a little extra support. Whether it was helping a shy child find their voice or going the extra mile for a struggling student, Thelma approached her work with dedication and compassion, and her influence extended beyond the classroom, as parents often sought her guidance and support, knowing that she genuinely cared for their children's well-being. Now, teachers like that are so rare and such a gift, and when you find one like Thelma, you realize not all teachers are created equal. Some just go above and beyond just the job, and that was Thelma. But Thelma's life was not without its challenges. Financial constraints occasionally weighed heavy on her family as they navigated the high cost of living in Hawaii on a teacher's offensively low salary. So to supplement her income, Thelma took on a part-time job cleaning vacation rental homes like Airbnbs or VRBOs, and she often worked long hours to ensure that her family could enjoy special experiences like a snowboarding trip that they had planned. Now, on the morning of December 7th of 2017, the day began like any other for Thelma Boinville and her 8-year-old daughter, Makana. Since Thelma's family had this big snowboarding trip planned for the holidays, to help fund the vacation, Thelma was working that second job cleaning a rental. She planned to clean a 2-story vacation property located on Pupukia Road. The property was a beautiful rental home, soon to host some Australian tourists who were scheduled to arrive later that day. Now, to keep Makana entertained during the cleaning, Thelma brought her daughter along and then set her up in the car with a movie. And before you flip out, you have to remember that in the safety and familiarity of this close-knit community, this was not seen as a risk to people who lived there. The North Shore was a peaceful place, one where people felt secure even leaving their doors unlocked. So Thelma did not think twice about leaving Makana in the car with a movie. And honestly, it's probably for the best that she did. Her plan was simple. She was going to finish the cleaning job and then just return home to enjoy the rest of the day with her family. However, what waited inside the house was something that no one could have anticipated. Thelma walked into the house carrying her cleaning supplies and began her routine. She was going to take some laundry out of the dryer, set up some fresh flowers. Like, it should not have taken that long. But she could not have known that two people were already inside the home. 23-year-old Stephen Brown and his girlfriend, 20-year-old Haley Dandurand. The couple had broken into the house earlier that day, intent on burglarizing it. But when Thelma walked in on their crime, they viciously attacked and killed her. Then Stephen, covered in Thelma's blood, went out to the car and found Makana. As he pulled Makana out of the car, he told this 8-year-old little girl, "We just killed your mom." And then he carried her into the house with Haley following behind him. The two then brought her into a bedroom, put her on a bed, gagged her, and tied her up, taping her mouth shut, and then put a bag over her head and left her there for hours. Later, when the Australian tourists finally arrived for their check-in, they walked into a nightmare. They found Thelma's lifeless body in a pool of blood and immediately ran out of the house and called police, not knowing that there was an 8-year-old right upstairs, tied to a bed, but miraculously still alive. Officers discovered an unimaginable scene of violence. Thelma's body had countless injuries inflicted by multiple weapons, including a baseball bat, a machete, a hammer, a meat tenderizer, and knives. The autopsy revealed blunt and sharp force trauma, with all injuries sustained while she was still alive, underscoring the unimaginable suffering that she endured before she died. The only sliver of a silver lining is that Makana didn't have to see her mom in that condition. After the attack, Stephen and Haley escaped in Thelma's truck, and the police quickly tracked down Thelma's stolen truck and then arrested Stephen Brown and Haley Dandurand at a nearby Walmart. The couple showed absolutely no signs of remorse. They were seen smirking and laughing at cameras. Stephen then got combative during his arrest, reportedly shouting, "Just shoot me, I deserve this." And similarly, Haley told the cops, "My life is over, just shoot me in the head." But perhaps the most disturbing thing about this story is what happened next. As if the actual attack wasn't disturbing enough, Haley was found wearing Makana's backpack on her back and Thelma's earrings in her ears. She took the earrings off of Thelma's dead body and put them in her own ears. Just sit with that for a moment. This is an evil, vile waste of a human being. These people are fucking monsters. And it gets worse. When the police put bags over Stephen and Haley's hands to preserve evidence because they were bloody, they literally had dried blood on their hands. Stephen started biting and chewing off the bags so that he could start licking his hands, saying, "If you're not going to help me, I'm going to help myself." Both of these murderers had just the most callous display of indifference to the lives that they just shattered. And that thought alone is truly terrifying, to know that people like this exist in the world and walk among us, even in serene places like Hawaii. After their arrest, Stephen and Haley were brought into the Honolulu Police Department, and as they were led into the station, they both smirked at the cameras. Stephen's curly green clown hair hung over his face down to the tip of his nose, emulating a real-life Joker character. And Haley's ratty pink hair hung over her shoulders, but in the back, on the crown of her head, you could see where this huge area of her hair had been cut really short, almost like she had this horrible rat's nest that she just cut out because she was too lazy to actually brush it, and then left all the rest of her hair to hang down. It seemed obvious that these were two sick, twisted individuals who were probably on drugs. Following their arrest, Stephen and Haley were charged with a litany of crimes, including second-degree murder, kidnapping, and burglary. The clothes that they were wearing at the time of their arrest were still covered in dried blood, and so their clothes were taken as evidence, and they showed up to their first court appearance in jail-issued clothing. Investigators meticulously documented every detail, ensuring that no piece of evidence was overlooked. And I want to talk a little bit about Stephen and Haley's past. Stephen Brown was born in Ohio and later grew up in St. Petersburg, Florida, where he was raised by foster parents. Now, his childhood, though not extensively documented, was apparently marked by upheaval and instability, which is a common denominator in many cases of violent behavior. Though it's not an excuse, so don't twist my words. I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm just stating that this does seem to be a common theme. But by the time he reached his early 20s, Stephen's life had already taken a darker turn. Reports suggest that he had a propensity for erratic and antisocial behavior coupled with a volatile temper, and these tendencies really laid the groundwork for his later actions. His criminal record reveals a history of violent offenses, and one of the most notable entries was a charge of domestic violence that was alleged by Haley herself. Although she later dropped the charges, this incident certainly shed light on the toxic and volatile nature of their relationship. In addition to violence, Stephen exhibited behaviors that others described as bizarre and unsettling. A former roommate, who identified himself in media reports as Ray, spoke to the media about living with Stephen at one point. So they all lived together in this house with about 10 people, and Ray recalled a time when Stephen had a dog that he wasn't supposed to have. Dogs weren't allowed in this place, but he had a dog, and he spray-painted the dog and then just allowed it to run loose in this shared living space. And Ray also recalled how Stephen changed his name to Axel Hayes Hendricks, probably because Stephen Brown wasn't edgy and cool enough, and he started subtly writing his name in all the rooms in the house, almost like an Easter egg hunt of finding where he left his name throughout the house. And disturbingly, he actually did this in the Airbnb where Thelma was found. He wrote his name in blood.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. It's the ultimate bundle for an unbelievable price. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. Get it and watch Marvel Television's Ironheart on Disney Plus.
I want to build something iconic.
A new season of The Bear on Hulu.
We can make people happy.
And the epic, a Minecraft movie on Max.
Anything you can imagine is possible.
The Disney Plus Hulu Max bundle. Plans starting at $16.99 a month. All these and more now streaming. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlusHuluMaxBundle.com for details.
She's made up her mind to live pretty smart. Learn to budget responsibly right from the start. She spends a little less and puts more into savings. Keeps her blood pressure low and credit score raises.
She's cutting debt right out of her life. She tracks her cash flow on a spreadsheet at night.
Boring money moves make kind of lame songs, but they sound pretty sweet to your wallet. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon's Blink Video Doorbell. Get more at your door with the easy-to-install Blink Video Doorbell. Get more connections.
Hey, I'm here for our first date.
More deliveries.
Hi, I have tacos for two.
Oh, thanks, we'll be right down. And more memories.
Babe, come down, I have a surprise.
All new Blink Video Doorbell with 2-year battery, head-to-toe HD view, and simple setup. Shop now at amazon.com/blink for just $69.99.
Or what appeared to be blood anyway, on one of the door frames of the house, he wrote Axel. Now, Haley Dandoran was originally from Bend, Oregon, a town far removed from the chaos that she later brought to Hawaii. Unlike Stephen, her background appears to have been relatively stable, at least on the surface. However, as she reached her teenage years, signs of rebellion and instability began to emerge. By the time Haley moved to Hawaii, she had already developed a reputation for being unpredictable. Former friends described her as someone who thrived on spontaneity, often making impulsive and irrational decisions. She sounds like she's just immature, but she met Stephen just a few months before Thelma's murder, and their relationship was almost instantly toxic, which we're all shocked. And Haley's former roommates described her as unpredictable and dangerous. And before Thelma's murder, she had been accused, along with Stephen, of trespassing and other burglaries. And just to give you guys a little idea of who we are dealing with, I'm going to play you guys a clip of Axel and Haley talking to the camera. And you can just hear how removed from reality they both are.
We just died.
Again.
Again. This is our dying video.
Yeah.
It was nice knowing you, world.
Sort of.
Not really.
Not really.
Mostly bullshit.
Yeah. Thank you, Satan, for all you've done. By fucking me in the ass with the cactus.
It's been nice.
It's been real lovely.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
A real nice guy. Anyway, this is us checking out. It's been real. It's been fun.
Bye.
Goodbye. Anarchy.
Painful. I know the whatever that sound was that she's making. I'd hate to say it's even a laugh. It was just so painful to listen to. But if you care to see the actual video, I'll put it on my Instagram, mama.mysterypodcast. But in the video, they both look like they're just high out of their minds. They're flipping off the camera. They're just clearly nonchalant about their complete failure to thrive. But for the brutal murder of Thelma Boinville, Stephen and Haley faced multiple charges, including second-degree murder for the death of Thelma, kidnapping for what they did to Makana, and first-degree burglary for breaking into the Airbnb. For the second-degree murder charge, the potential sentence was life in prison with or without parole, but parole eligibility would require serving at least 20 years in prison. And for the kidnapping charge, each count could have carried up to life in prison with the possibility of parole. And then for the first-degree burglary charge, the potential sentence is a max of 20 years in prison. Now, Stephen Brown faced additional considerations when it came to his charges. The court took into consideration his behavior during his arrest, noting that his resistance and statements like, just shoot me, I deserve this, and then, of course, biting off the bag so he could lick his hands, this all highlighted his defiance and his lack of remorse. The prosecution also sought to establish that his actions were premeditated and carried out with extreme cruelty. And these considerations were essential for pursuing an extended sentence without the possibility of parole. And for Haley, her defense team tried to portray her as a victim of Stephen's coercion and influence, seeking a separate trial and also seeking a reduced bail so that she could go spend time with her family back in Oregon while she awaited trial. But thankfully, she was denied that request and sat in jail until her trial, like she absolutely deserved. Now, Stephen and Haley were tried separately, and Stephen's trial was initially delayed for 5 years due to a combination of defense motions, prosecution preparations, and then, of course, procedural delays exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. Early in the case, the defense sought to exclude certain evidence, arguing that the crime scene photos and details about the brutality of the murder might unfairly prejudice the jury. Which, that just blows my mind. Like, this is the crime we're talking about. This is the crime that this person allegedly committed. So why on earth would we exclude this evidence? But the judge allowed the evidence, citing its relevance to the case, thankfully. And the prosecution, which was led by Deputy Prosecutor Scott Bell, opened with a chilling account of the crime. Bell described the gruesome details of Thelma's murder, emphasizing the multiple weapons used and the vile nature of the attack. He painted Stephen Brown as a willing participant and argued that his actions were intentional and premeditated. His defense attorney, William Bagasol, countered by attempting to shift the blame to Haley Dandurand, portraying her as the primary aggressor. And listen, we're all shocked that they got separate trials and they're both just blaming each other. Like, this is exactly what criminals do. But the defense also claimed that he was caught up in Haley's actions and had no intention of killing Thelma. Bagasol also argued that one of the cops who cried during his testimony created prejudice in the jury and wanted a mistrial, to which the judge declined. But that just shows you how vile this crime was, that a cop on the stand was actually crying as he recounted finding Thelma and Makana. Jurors were shown graphic images of the crime scene, illustrating the severity of Thelma's injuries in the bloodstained room where her body was found, including Axel's name written on the doorframe. Forensic experts testified that DNA from both Haley and Stephen were found on weapons at the scene, including a baseball bat, machete, and the meat tenderizer. Stephen's fingerprints were also found on Thelma's body. Now a teenager, Thelma's daughter, Makana, bravely delivered critical testimony. She recounted being tied up, gagged, and told that her mother had been killed. and her identification of both Stephen and Haley as her captors just solidified their roles in the crime. McKenna's testimony was both powerful and heartbreaking, and I just have to point out that this was another thing that Stephen and Haley put this poor girl through. Because neither of them took responsibility for what they did, they forced this girl to have to testify and face them once again. The prosecution highlighted Stephen's disturbing behavior during his arrest, including licking blood off his hands and attempting to remove the evidence bags with his teeth. And this behavior was presented as evidence of his unstable mindset and his lack of remorse. Stephen's legal team focused on portraying Haley as the mastermind behind the crime, and they argued that Stephen's role was limited to just tying Thelma and McKenna under Haley's orders, claiming that he had no part in the actual murder and that he is a changed man of God now, which few things piss me off more than when a brutal murderer claims to be a changed person of God while also just ignoring the principles of Christianity that include humility and accountability and truly living out the values of love and justice and compassion. Like, disregard all those tenets of Christianity, but like, just label me as a Christian so that you feel bad for me and maybe are more lenient on me. Like, that is just such a cop out and a manipulation of the system. It very much frustrates me. Not to say that some people aren't, you know, changed in jail by their faith, but I just feel like this person in particular was not using it in a genuine way. Anyway, sorry for the rant, but he even took the stand and testified, Stephen did, maintaining that he had no intention of harming Thelma. He described at one point leaving the room during the attack and then returning to find Haley covered in blood, as if she was the one that did absolutely everything to Thelma. But this claim was contradicted by forensic evidence and witness testimonies. Prosecutors also dismantled his claims, pointing to the physical evidence that directly implicated him in the murder. DNA, fingerprints, and witness testimony all confirmed his active participation in the crime, and they emphasized the callousness of the crime, noting the excessive violence and the fact that Thelma's injuries were all inflicted while she was still alive. The jury deliberated for only a few hours before coming back and finding Stephen Brown guilty on all charges. He was sentenced to life with the possibility of parole, plus 20 years for the kidnapping, and another 20 years for the burglary charges. And the judge ordered that they all be served consecutively, so back to back. He will have to serve at least 60 years if the paroling authority sets the minimum for life at 20 years before becoming eligible for parole. So he will be approximately in his 80s before he's eligible. Now let's talk about Haley's trial. So her legal team successfully argued for her to be tried separately from Stephen. And of course, she claimed that she was a victim of his coercion and his violence. They sought to portray Stephen Brown as the mastermind behind the crime, arguing that he coerced Haley into participating. And they also pointed to Stephen's history of domestic violence, including that previous charge of abuse against Haley, as evidence that she was acting under duress. And the defense also explored using PTSD and battered spouse syndrome to justify her actions. However, no substantial evidence of ongoing abuse or mental health diagnoses was ever presented to substantiate any of these claims. The prosecution presented DNA evidence and fingerprints that placed Haley at the crime scene, implicating her in both the murder and the kidnapping. And they also reminded the jury that she was found wearing Thelma's earrings in her ears and that she was carrying McKenna's backpack when she was arrested. And this was all evidence that the prosecution used to highlight her callousness and her lack of remorse. McKenna's testimony was critical. She identified both Haley and Stephen as the individuals who abducted and tied her up, and her detailed account contradicted the defense's argument that Haley was just a passive participant or a bystander. And the prosecution also argued that the pair entered the property with the intent to commit a violent crime, pointing to the weapons used and the overkill nature of Thelma's murder. Why would they bring weapons like a machete if they only intended on stealing items from the home? Ultimately, it didn't take long for the jury to find her guilty as well on charges of second-degree murder, kidnapping, first-degree burglary, and unauthorized possession of personal information because she had stolen Thelma's wallet, ID, and credit cards, and they were found on her body, like on her person, as well as unauthorized control of a propelled vehicle for stealing Thelma's car. Judge Rowena Somerville imposed the following sentences. Haley received 2 life terms with the possibility of parole for murder and kidnapping to be served consecutively, 20 years for the first-degree burglary to be served after the life sentences, and then 10 years for unauthorized possession of personal information and 1 year for using the stolen truck, served concurrently with the burglary term. So in total, Haley must serve at least 60 years before becoming eligible for parole, meaning she too will be in her 80s before she's eligible, and hopefully she just dies there. And I don't feel bad saying that. Now, I want to end today's episode with honoring Thelma's memory. After the horrific crime, the North Shore community really rallied to support Thelma's family. Vigils were held to honor her memory, highlighting her contributions as a teacher and as a friend. Her husband, Kevin, spoke at one of the gatherings, astonishing many by expressing his forgiveness toward his wife's killers. He later revealed that he forgave them to prevent hate from consuming him. His heartbreak was palpable as he described the impact of the crime on Makana as well. The young girl was plagued by nightmares, terrified of the dark, and traumatized by the events that she witnessed. But despite these challenges, Makana has demonstrated incredible resilience as seen in her courage during the trials and her ability to speak publicly about her trauma. Makana has honored her mother's memory in various ways, including creating artwork and writing letters, and Kevin has shared that she still celebrates Mother's Day by creating cards for Thelma. As an avid surfer, Thelma spent much of her life on the waves, and friends and family have honored her memory by holding paddle-out ceremonies, which is a traditional Hawaiian tribute where surfers paddle into the ocean to form a circle to celebrate the life of someone that has passed. Some who knew Thelma have taken up causes related to protecting Hawaii's environment also, reflecting her deep appreciation for nature. Her love for the outdoors continues to inspire others to preserve the beauty of the islands that she cherished. Thelma Boinville is remembered for more than just the tragic circumstances of her death. She's remembered for the beautiful, vibrant life she lived. Her love for her family, dedication to her students, and passion for her community ensure that her memory endures as a source of inspiration and hope. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Mama Mystery. We will be back Tuesday with another case. And until then, Mama Mystery out. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Make another smart choice with AutoQuote Explorer to compare rates from multiple car insurance companies all at once. Try it at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices may vary on how you buy.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.